And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the 15-second dance tutorial, the only dance tutorial for people who want to learn how to dance but don't have a lot of time. We're going to start with this, then we're going to roll it into that, okay? Then we're going to mix a little bit of this in, and when you string it all together, it looks something like this.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, December 16th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, got himself a new haircut over there, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey, yo.
Ooh,
wow.
Looking real good. Got the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last, certainly not least, making this magic happen day in, day out, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, and share the show. Keep emailing in your NBA questions as well to nodunks@theathletic.com. Did a little beach step in on yesterday's pod. So thank you to everybody that's sending questions and keep doing so. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at No Dunks Inc. And finally, no spoilers here on No Dunks, but today at about 1 p.m. Eastern, okay, 10 a.m. Pacific, we're going to break down last night's final episode of Survivor 41. We'll have pizza and champagne, and the great Jason Concepcion will join us. So yes, 1 p.m. Eastern over on our No Buffs YouTube feed. We'll be live on YouTube and then turn that into a podcast. And you got to subscribe to No Buffs on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen to your Survivor content. So yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Lots to talk about. But, oh my God, NBA crazy last night. We're going to get into a lot of the games, a lot of the game winners. Then we got Is This News later. We got ourselves another wedgie, boys. Wedgie number 15. Yeah. This is our third one of the week of the defensive variety here. The rookie, Chris Duarte from behind, pins it in there. Yep, that's his wedgie. You got to give that to the defensive player there. So nice stuff. There you go. Pace ticking up.
Mm.
Wow. That's really nice to see, Tass.
Beautiful. And I love a block wedgie, as you said. When it's in the box score, it would go to the defensive player, Duarte. One.
That's right. So we tweeted this out, of course. And thanks to everybody that always hits us up on Instagram and Twitter. Like, oh, there was a wedgie in the Bucks-Pacers game. That's great. We love it. You got to keep us informed. It's tough to have our eyes, especially when there's like a bunch of games going on every game. And then somebody pointed out on Twitter, and I missed it the first time. I don't know about you guys when you saw the video on our Twitter account or maybe in Slack. Someone's like, somebody yells block wedgie. And I think it's Miles Turner. And I was like, what? So I played the clip again. And oh my God, listen to Miles Turner here after this Chris Duarte wedgie block. Block wedgie. Hell yeah. I'm pretty sure he said
I need to hear that again,
okay,
JD. I wasn't buying it. Let's do it again.
Oh.
No way. No. He says, good block, boy.
No.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I think he says wedgie for sure.
One more time.
Wow, I hear wedgie. You don't hear wedgie?
Man, I wish I did.
Okay. Tass, come on. Lean into you guys the wedgie.
I can't.
What he actually said. Yeah. Let's just go with it. This is a player saying block wedgie. Hell yeah, boy.
It does you sound did. Like it.
The guy throws up a shot. It gets blocked. And we're led to believe the guy who leads the league in blocks yells, oh, hey, block wedgie. I want to believe it, but I don't want to lie. Can we just get it one more time, JD? Sure.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Don't worry about it, Tess. Just go.
I'm not worried about it. Good.
Okay, we got everybody tweet at Miles Turner right now. Ask him if he called out Block Wedgie last night. Just go do it. He'll give us an answer, I think. Okay, anyway, great block from Duarte. Up to 15 again, our third of the week, I believe. So we're getting on pace a little higher, closer to that 50 mark. 47 is wedgietracker.com. Wow, let's get to the games, though. Pure insanity at the end of a few of these. Pels Thunder, okay. Following SGA... Oh, you know what? I forgot, JD. I'm so excited. I forgot we're doing a segment here. Yeah, let's play What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
My apologies, JD. I'm also running on, like, 3 hours of sleep because we had a marathon of a Survivor episode. Then all this stuff was going on in the NBA. I was up late. Then I was up at the crack of dawn to catch up on the late games in the NBA. So that was my bad here. But
you're running on champagne and pizza,
that's
brother.
Right. That's right. Can I get another slice in here, please? Yeah, can I get another glass of champagne? So, pure insanity at the end of the Pelicans-Thunder game. Following SGA's wild three with about 1.4 seconds remaining. We're showing it to you here on the stream team because you got to see these to believe them. So SGA thinks he's going to get fouled. He chucks it up. Okay, it goes. Oh my God, tie game.
Swish.
But there's a little bit of time left and Devontae Graham is going to take the inbounds pass and launch it, guys, from, I guess officially they're calling it 61 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. It banks in. The Hail Mary is answered and the Pelicans win 113-110. Okay. Crazy. Meanwhile, in Dallas, we had Lakers rookie Austin Reeves lacing the biggest shot of his life, for sure, off a Westbrook pass. He splashes in the game-winning three with about a second to go in overtime. He had a bunch of three-pointers in this game, and the Lakers survive and beat the Mavericks 107-104. So here you go. The question. Crazier ending. Pelicans Thunder? Or Lakers Mavs. And I only showed you the Austin Reeves shot, but there was a lot of other things going on in that game as well. Have at it. What's your answer there, Trey?
Well, you touched on it earlier, Skeets. The craziest ending of the night was Jeff Probst pushing pizza there in Fiji. That man had to get rid of those stew slices. Tune into No Buffs today, 1 p.m. Eastern. Craziest NBA ending easily. Pelicans versus Thunder. Got a few things going for it. Not just one, but two crazy shots. The SGA game-tying three where he's trying to draw the foul reminded me of the Tim Duncan shot before Derek Fisher's tip in the 2004 playoffs. Tim Duncan hits like this insane fall away against Shaq that's kind of been lost to history because of what happened right after it. Just the same way Devontae Graham is going to overshadow SGA's shot. According to Second Spectrum, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's shot had a minuscule 14.1% chance of going in. That trumps Devontae Graham's shot, which had a 3.5% chance. You math it up, the combined chance for both of those shots going in is 0.5%. According to ESPN Stats and Info, this is the first game in 25 years to feature multiple game-tying or go-ahead shots from 30-plus feet. So even just the SGA shot, if that were to force overtime, I think that one's pretty crazy. But then, of course, you've got the Devontae Graham game-winning shot as well. According to ESPN, the longest game-winning buzzer beater in the past 25 years. It's the longest shot in the league this year. The first make from 60-plus feet. Only one of two from 50-plus feet. One of 10 from 40-plus. I went deep in the trivia here. Since 2000, how many 60-footers do you think there have been in the NBA? 21 years. It's a lot of games. 21 seasons.
Well, 15.
46. 46 times.
Wow.
A 60-footer. So twice a season, basically. Here's some more trivia. Since 2000, five players have hit multiple 60-footers. Who are they?
Wow. Since 2000, multiple players have hit.
One guy played in almost every season since from the 2000s. The other one.
Vince.
There you go. Vince Carter. We had a guy who was born in the 1960s who played on the Cavs in a trivia question recently.
Oh, God. Which one?
This guy you know has long shots, I would say.
Lamon Murray?
Close enough. Andre
you
Miller.
You know his long shots.
Andre Miller hitting some long ones for sure.
He's the best alley-ooper. It makes sense that he's the best long bomber.
That's right. Three more. Another one had their jersey retired this week.
Zach
Randolph, 260 plus footers.
Wow.
We've got one of the biggest beefers in the game, a current player. Would not imagine this guy to have multiple 60 footers. Might be his only three pointers of his career. I haven't
seen Hassan Whiteside?
Andre Drummond. Good guess. Yeah. And the last one, a player I'm going to reference later with regards to Luka Doncic and Rick Carlisle falling out at the end of their tenure there. This player is no longer in the NBA, but will be participating in a professional sporting event against another professional sporting
athlete. Darren Williams?
Darren Williams!
Wow.
Vince, Andre Drummond, Andre Miller, Zach Randolph, Darren Williams hit multiple 60-footers. So we'll see if Devontae Graham can bang another one in. But seeing both of those shots last night, SGA first, that would have been a crazy shot if that was it. But then followed up, no timeout. They called the play Vegas because you're just pushing all your chips in and hoping you get lucky. The Pelicans did last night. What an incredible shot. 61 feet with the bank.
Wow. Yeah, Lee, okay. What do you think? Can you make a case for Lakers-Mavs and how wild it was, like the final 120 or so, even to get to overtime, what happened in the end of regulation? Or is it pretty obvious it has to be a 61-footer the bank did?
Well, let's go with Austin Reeves because it's Austin Reeves, and I think he actually got fouled on the play, so it should have been a 4-point play. But that did culminate in just a crazy ending there because Russell Westbrook hit a three, Tim Hardaway Jr. hit a three, but this game shouldn't have even gone to overtime in the first place.
Yeah,
because with the Lakers down by three at the end of regulation, the Mavericks, two players had their hands on a ball on a missed shot. Somehow, though, it found Wayne Ellington in the corner, who hit a three to just put the game into overtime. So this one was full of all sorts of crazy stuff. Austin Reeves only took six shots last night. He made five of them. They were all threes. He had a wild celebration with his teammates. Of course he would after that game there in the locker room. The fact that LeBron was on the court, Anthony Davis was on the court, Russell Westbrook was on the court, but it was Austin Reeves who hit the shot. I'll say, sure, that's the most unlikely thing to happen because you just didn't expect it. But great ball movement by the Lakers, something that you just don't see usually in those sort of game-ending scenarios. Usually it's one guy, it's like LeBron. It's like, I'm LeBron. I get to do what I want. Instead, he passed it. Russell Westbrook made a great play to go into the lane there to make the pass out. I'm not sure if he was aware Austin Reeves was there, but he was like, you're getting the ball now, Austin. Knock it in. And he did. So well done, Austin Reeves. Great stuff.
Yeah,
I too, Lee, I didn't know if Russ had a plan going into the lane there, but he sure did. He was waiting for Austin Reeves because our friend Wes Goldberg at The Athletic pointed out that if you look at Russ's eyes, he was waiting for Austin Reeves to come swing up top. And it sort of makes sense because Westbrook was wide open. He could have easily hit that shot. And I thought, well, he doesn't have a plan because he just kind of stands there, doesn't take the open shot. And yeah, Johnson to the lane there. Are you going to make a play here? And then Austin Reeves, yeah, curls up to the top along the arc. He finds him. And yeah, Russ had a plan, and the plan worked. And I wanted to point out as well about the Pelicans and Devontae Graham taking the inbounds pass. They also had a plan because as soon as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's shot goes down, it looks like someone else could take out the ball and pass it to Josh Hart as an inbound. But the Pelicans ran that play. They ran Vegas, and they said, Josh Hart, you go inbound that thing. Devontae Graham, I'm the 60-foot assassin. And a great loss for the Thunder. It works out great for them. They show that they can play. It's a close game. They're tied in the standings with the Pelicans going into this game. And now the Pelicans have one more win than them. So it's a good loss because they dropped down the standings. They've lost by 73 points this season. If only this shot was from 73 feet, I think that would have been fitting. Thunder jokes.
Yeah. Wild, wild shots here. Yeah, the SGA one, of course, Devontae Graham, like on the run, banking it in from 60 plus. And then all those shots, like you said, Lee, in the Lakers Mavericks team. Maxi Kleber hit one off the glass, too. Yeah, the bank was
straight
open
away.
Yesterday.
Bank.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So the stream team chiming in with their what you got answers, which was the wilder ending between the Pelicans Thunder game and the Lakers Mavericks game. This Austin Reeves story is pretty fun, too, here. This, you know, undrafted guy coming out of Oklahoma, I guess it is. What are the nicknames they got for this guy already, Trey?
LeBron called him AR-15 last night.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we had an AK-47 once upon a time. So I don't know. Fair enough. I am curious though about Devontae Graham and the Pelicans talking about we run this play in practice. Yeah. What's he shoot from practice 60 feet? Is he like 50%? That would be super impressive. Is he 30%? That would be super impressive.
Yeah.
Has he made it once? I would love to know. Or do they just do it? Do they just run it? Like, I mean, that's not much of a play to say, we run this play. You run sideways, I pass it in, and you chuck it up.
Yeah, I think when they say run this play, there's three, like, options on the play, I think is really what they mean. Like, it's the guy.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
there's
like,
actually
it's like
four, because there's four guys standing on the court, if you think about
it. Yeah, true. I guess the other guy, the fourth guy, has nothing to do out there.
He's the shot maker, man. He's the guy. I guess it's, hey, you don't inbound it because you hit it 15% in practice or 20%. Yeah. Probably pretty freaking good.
Yeah. Other nicknames I'm seeing here in the stream team, and I had seen these come across Twitter, I guess it was. They were yelling light skin at him in the locker room when celebrating with Austin Reeves. And then my favorite is Hillbilly Kobe.
That's the best one.
That's by far the best one. I mean, if we have Gary Bird and then Hillbilly Kobe in this league, we're in good hands.
They've got to remake that Converse ad between Magic and Larry. You know,
with Gary Matthews and Austin Reeves. Insane stuff. If you didn't watch those games, you know, look, we're not even going to be upset with you. So, like, how many people are even watching the Pelicans Thunder game last night? But seek out, obviously, the ending here, the crazy shot, and then do the same with the Lakers-Mavericks game if you weren't watching that one on ESPN. Okay, let's keep it going. Sort of lost, I guess, maybe in the crazy game winners from last night. We had two spectacular individual performances in different games. Anthony Edwards became the youngest player in NBA history. Yes, NBA history with 10 made threes in a game. And then Gordon Hayward had the highest field goal percentage, 79%, in a 40-point game in Hornets history. Yeah, he had a 40-point game and shot nearly 80% from the floor. Both came in wins. So, Tass, better performance, better individual performance last night. Is it Ant or Commissioner Gordon? What you got?
I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards because I think, as we've talked about him here in his second year, we've all been a tiny bit disappointed with his growth, especially the Wolves' growth. And I think something's kind of flying under the radar with him throughout the season. In this game, he had 38, 10 threes, which is a season high for any player in the NBA. And that really makes you think, why the heck did we expect Steph Curry to bang home 16 threes last week against the Magic? I mean, they were talking about it. The Warriors locker room was talking about it. So, we're all just dumb, I think, is what it comes down to. We all just expect the guy to just bang home shots. But Anthony Edwards, 10 threes, season high. I wanted to mention that because it kind of flies under the radar that he has grown in terms of his efficiency. Last year, when he was battling LaMelo Ball for Rookie of the Year, we all said, he's got to be more efficient. Now all the headlines are, the Wolves just stink, and Edwards has been disappointing. Well, he's shooting more. He's shooting the ball at a decent clip from the three-point line. It's about league average, and that's fine. Now, that duo hasn't worked between Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, but maybe it's just Trivia Thursday here on No Dunks, but I want to mention Anthony Edwards. He is still young, so maybe we should be given this time. He's 20 years old. Yeah, he hasn't taken over the team yet, but he is balling in a way that few players do. He's reached 2,000 points here, just the seventh player at 20 or younger to reach that mark in their first 100 games. So six other guys 20 or younger to reach 2,000 points. Six guys 20 or younger to get 2,000 points. Who are they?
It's got to be LeBron and Melo, yeah.
Both are on there, yep.
How Kobe. About his teammate, Karl-Anthony Towns?
Not Kobe, not Karl-Anthony Towns.
Luka
is one of them. There's three more.
Durant. We've got,
Durant is right. Melo, Luka, Durant, and LeBron. We've got two more. One you should know, and one surprise.
Zion?
Zion is right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Zion is right. He has been phenomenal. The other one, under 20, 2,000 points, you just wouldn't think of him as under 20.
Still plays, though.
Yes. Yes, he still
wouldn't
plays.
Think of him as under 20. Interesting.
Yeah, because he played 1 year in college, and then he just must have just came out and balled.
Does he still play, Tass?
Yeah, I wasn't going to give you that hint.
Kyrie Irving, for sure.
Kyrie Irving, good call. Good call.
Yeah,
it's kind of surprising.
That is crazy, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think we should give it a little bit more time with him and Karl-Anthony Towns because they haven't figured out that 1-2 thing. But going to Gordon Hayward, what's interesting with him, he signed last year as to be sort of the number one guy with Charlotte. Then LaMelo Ball comes in. LaMelo Ball has clearly taken over the number one role, and Gordon Hayward has just kind of developed into that secondary guy and been fine with it. He's flown under the radar this season, even though he signed that huge contract last year. Now he has a 41-point night, and they're doing really well with LaMelo Ball currently out because of health and safety protocols. So they are doing very well. That is sort of understandable. Hayward, old dude, understanding his role. But the Edwards Towns thing has not been that great. So I think we should give it a little more time. 10 threes is a monster number, even though we expect guys to hit 20 threes a game these days.
You surprised me there saying nobody had hit 10 threes in a game this season yet. But I guess, that's pretty amazing. Okay, Lee, what you got, though, here between Ant's 10 threes, the 38 points, or Gordon Hayward, going for 40-plus, shooting nearly 80%?
Kind of identical in a way that they both teams just started out on fire against their opponents and they just didn't cool off at all. And that was a very important win there for the Wolves. I'll go with Anthony Edwards because I didn't think he had 10 in him. But then another stat here, which was going around. He the only other player in NBA history with more three-pointers in his first 100 games. Anyone want to guess?
Oh, nice. Lauri Markkanen.
No, this guy actually is having a bit of an off season, although he did sign a big deal last summer.
Davis Bertans.
No.
Not your guy, not your MVP pick.
No, not my MVP pick. No. This guy, he's just a three-point shooter. That's all he does, and he's got a beautiful stroke.
Duncan Robinson.
Nice one. Yes. So in that sense, I mean, Anthony Edwards, I don't think that's the first thing you think about him when you watch him is that he's just going to go out there and light you up for 10. But he is so confident in himself. He's got that little dribble. You know he's going for the step back. You know it's coming. He believes in himself. And he knocks him down pretty well. So I'll go with him because it's great to see a young player. And it's great to see the Wolves hopefully, I know we talk about them a lot. They win a few, they lose a few, they win a few, they lose a few. A big, impressive victory. I know Denver is undermanned, but Jokic played. And really, this was a wire-to-wire, comfortable win here for the Wolves, an important one for them. So I'll take Edwards. Gordon Hayward, great. Yeah, all those stats, all those numbers. But I just think the 10-3s surpasses what someone else does on the court. You know, because 10-3s
is awesome. Yeah, Gordon Hayward, we've barely talked about him at all this season. To the point where I had to double check, triple check that he hadn't missed a month of the season.
Right.
Played in every game. He's played 30 games. I was like, we really just talk about LaMelo Ball and then Miles Bridges and sort of the level that he went to. And here's just old reliable Gordon, 18 points, whatever, four boards, decent shooting percentages. He's probably at 47-40 or whatever. He's decent at the line. But then he pops off for this game. And I bring that up because, Trey, we were talking about Gordon Hayward last year a lot more because he was there was a stretch there. We were like, well, is he going to make the All-Star team?
Good old days.
And then injuries did hit them and the Hornets fell off a little bit. But, okay, what you got, though, with this one? Anthony Edwards or Gordon Hayward?
Well, I mean, I'm more impressed with Anthony Edwards, but I feel like it's time to talk about Gordon Hayward. Here's a new nickname for him. Good Gord. Gordon Hayward's just good, right? He's just going to go out there, shoot good percentages, hit from threes. Like Lee's saying, it's more exciting to see a guy hit 10 threes than 10 pump fake jumpers from 12 feet. But that's kind of what it was for Gordon Hayward. We talked all the time last year, Skeets. Gordon Hayward's best move is driving into the lane and stopping while everybody keeps going. Yep. He kept doing it last night and it kept working. That's the cool thing about the Hornets. They seem to have a bunch of players who could go for 40 points. It was Gordon Hayward last night, but we've seen LaMelo get close. We've seen Kelly Oubre get close. PJ Washington had a 40-point game last year. Miles Bridges had been close. They play a fast brand of basketball. There's going to be shots to take. Gordon Hayward was on fire last night. 41 points in three quarters, and he only took 19 shots. 15 of 19. That's super impressive. Good Gord.
Good Gord.
Good Gord.
I just checked. Gordon Hayward hadn't even had a 30-point game this season.
Wow.
He had 27, I think it was, on opening night, and that was his best scoring performance until last night, Tess.
Yeah. He ain't great, Gord.
He's good, Gord. All right. Let's talk dunks. JD, I think you got some clips for everybody here in the stream team. I know this one guy that's always saying, talk about Trey Mann. All right, here's Trey Mann, because I want to get your guys' opinion on the dunk of the night. We had Trey Mann go baseline bang. Really nice hops
nice
here.
Flex, too.
Yep. Good stuff there. Okay, that's one. Brandon Ingram, same game, down the lane on some bodies here, sort of splits them a little bit there, but he hammers that one home. And then the dunk I feel it's going to maybe get most of the votes here. Isaac Okoro with Taz Mellis' Cleveland Cavaliers catches three bodies. Yes. He dunks on three Rockets, and I don't think I'm really exaggerating that. And he flexes hard. Rockets just bounce off him. He's playing really well for Cleveland over the last couple of games, really scoring the ball. So, biggest dunk. Again, question for the stream team, for the pod squad listening later. Trey Mann, Brandon Ingram, or Okoro Lee, what you got?
It has to be Okoro, because he does legit catch three bodies there, and they go sprawling afterwards, and he stands there. It's almost like in an 80s movie where like a guy just beats up like three villains, and he's just standing around looking at the bodies there.
He's looking at the, you know,
exactly,
the deceased.
Yeah. And it's a double-handed off that one-legged jump as well. Look at that. I mean, that could also be a foul maybe as well. So he just absolutely hammers it on the Rockets there. I mean, Trey Mann's is nice. He definitely gets a body, but Brandon Ingram, you said it there, he kind of doesn't. He sort of splits those two bodies.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that quite had the same impact. But Okoro's standing there like, oh my God, I just took some bodies and threw them on the ground here. This is awesome. For me, pretty clearly it's that one.
Okay. Trey, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm 100% on Okoro here. Like you said, he's been playing pretty well, driving to the lane hard, and he just crushed it on those guys. I love the picture that the Cavs posted on Twitter last night. You can't even see Isaac Okoro in this dunk. This looks like a picture of the Rockets playing defense until you realize, oh, wait, two of those arms are dunking a basketball. What a crazy poster. The way they fall down. Lee's right. It is like an 80s movie, but I was thinking about that time we filmed a thing with Kristen Ledlow where we all had to do like a triple flop in the background while she was talking. Couldn't find the clip, but very similar to that if you can pull it up. But yeah, the aftermath was incredible. I can't believe Şengün stayed on his feet, actually.
Tass, are you going to Okoro as well?
Got to, mister. Yeah, that's an incredible poster right there. The poster without the dunker, essentially. You're seeing a poster with the guy's like forehead and hair, basically, because he's being blocked. He dunked on so many guys, they fell to the floor. And you know, when a guy dunks on a guy, he looks at him. As soon as Isaac Okoro dismounted, he had to look around. Like, who do I pick to stare down? Who am I going to trash? I got one, two,
everyone?
So many bodies. Yeah, everybody kind of bounced off each other, as Trey said. I think that kind of hurt the block chances because it looked like Şengün kind of took out Kenyon Martin Jr. there. Great stuff. I guess the pass of all these three got to go to Josh Giddey with that beauty backdoor to Trey Mann on that hammer. That was a sweet, sweet pass. But Isaac Okoro, man, that's a memorable one right there.
Yeah, huge. And again, he is playing really, really well here for the Cavaliers. If you go check his box score, he's had 7 field goals made in his last 4 games, and he's averaging, you know, like 19 points per game of those last 4. So really contributing offensively. You know, you think of him more like coming in this league as a young guy. He's pretty solid on the defensive end, and he's showing that promise on the other end as well. And that was huge. And it could have only been better. You're right. If Şengün hits the floor, because then all three go down. Like he's the bowling ball, and he somehow took them all down, all three pins, and then did like the. Like Steph Curry's done the 1, 2, 3, like on a big three. If he had done like the count to 3 on the 3 bodies, like all sprawled out, that would have been amazing.
He could have done the David Brent, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
3 to the head. I guess that's a tough spot to be in if you're in Okoro. Like, you just go in for a huge dunk. You're not thinking 3-point celebration, right?
No.
That's tough to switch gears like that. Trust me.
Yeah. All right. Well, sticking with the Cavs here, we'll work them into the final one. The Rockets, the Cavaliers, won their 5th straight over the Houston Rockets, as we showed you on that dunk there from Okoro. They punked them 124-89. Cleveland's first 5-game winning streak since the spring of 2018 when LeBron was on the roster. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell, he played nearly a perfect second half to keep Utah's winning streak alive. Jazz beat the Clippers 124-103 for their 8th consecutive win. So the question is, Lee, more surprising win streak here, Cavs at 5 or Jazz now up to 8? What you got?
Well, it's the Cavs as a surprising win streak because regular season Utah Jazz are a great team. Last year they had 2 9-game winning streaks and an 11-game winning streak, and we expect this from them. But the Cavs have been such a fun story this season because they started off like last season, winning games, playing great basketball, but they've now really been able to continue that and make you believe that this team honestly, if they don't make the playoffs from here, I think that will be an absolute disaster for them, because they've got legit talent, they've got depth, and they're really playing well together. So, you know, will they keep up this pace? Unlikely, but certainly they're not just a mirage at this point. I think there is some real belief that this team is playing at their capabilities right now. So I think it's the Cavs. I will say this about the Jazz, though, because I don't want any angry Jazz fans. They always say, oh, you always disrespect us. I think, looking at their schedule this morning, they can beat the Suns' record of 18 wins in a row this season. So they got, is it 8 right now, I believe? I think they can get up to 19 or so. So they got some winnable games in there. You know, we know anything can happen, of course, in the NBA, but it's not until they get to the Warriors where I think that's where they could really face their first real test. They should beat all the other teams. So there you go, Jazz. Hope you see that as respect. I think you can I think you can surpass the Phoenix Suns' 18 consecutive wins this season.
Wow. Lee Ellis, stamp of approval, hopefully, from Jazz fans. Tass, Cavs at 5 or Jazz at 8? What is more surprising to you?
I'm a Cavs man. You know, I've talked about them over and over and over and over and over and over again. And am I surprised? Listen, I picked them as my surprise playoff team before the season, but it's still surprising how they've come together and how they're all developing sort of at once. I thought this team was a good bunch of players that could be sort of buoyed up the standings, could be helped by a Ricky Rubio veteranship. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these young guys coming into their second or third or fourth years are just extremely solid. And I'm talking about Jared Allen and Lauri Markkanen and Isaac Okoro, who's benefited from the Colin Sexton injury, who was playing all right when he was there. And then you get great performances from Kevin Love, who's grown. I mean, it's shocking how they've all come together. So I think that's the biggest surprise. That they're all just, you know, we're arguing over whether who could be the all-star. Yeah. If it's Darius Garland or Evan Mobley, they could have the rookie of the year, obviously, and Evan Mobley. Just so many stories. They've got great defensive players. And I think if we're talking awards, at this point, it's J.B. Bickerstaff's Coach of the Year award to lose with what he's done, even though, you know, there's some obviously great nominees elsewhere.
Yeah. Trey, more surprising, is it the Cavs at 5 or is it the Jazz? Quietly going about their business up to 8, and Lee says it's going to get to 19.
No surprises, actually, Skeets. Tass is telling us how great the Cavs are they get their wins, so I'm not surprised to see them doing well, and they beat a team that they should beat. Meanwhile, the Jazz have had a 10-plus game winning streak in 3 of the last 4 seasons, so it's almost surprising if they don't get to 10 games, which I think they're going to get to exactly 10 games, and then it's over. I'm with Caleb Seidler here. The win streak ends on December 20th for the Jazz. They've got the Hornets. It's the third game in 4 nights, and the Hornets play a weird style of basketball. That game will be 145 to 142 for the Hornets.
Okay.
10-game win streak, and then it's over. Sorry, Utah Jazz fans.
I would say what is surprising is at this point of the season, you know, 30-ish games in, that the Cavs have a better defense than the Utah Jazz. You wouldn't have been predicting that. They have the second best defense in the league. Cleveland Cavaliers right now. Jazz are still great. I think they're 5th, but that is insane. And that's why they're having these monster blowout victories. And Rubio was up to some magic there last night, Tass. I'm sure you saw the sort of steal at the end. Was that the end of the first quarter, if I remember correctly? And then the little whoop behind the back pass. Pretty tricky Ricky is what I was trying to say.
Pretty tricky Ricky.
There it is.
I would say this Cleveland Cavaliers team has more defensive highlights than offensive highlights. When you look at, I loved an Isaac Okoro poking the ball from Zach LaVine a few weeks ago when they were, he was defending him way out. You know, we've had Evan Mobley guarding guys in the perimeter, Jared Allen. I think they've had more defensive highlights, which is rare for a team. And let me throw another surprise in here, because we saw Trey Kirby's haircut off the top. I'm surprised that Trey has had this haircut before, really. I mean, it's a similar haircut. I'm going back a few years
here.
You
look like somebody there to me.
Yeah.
I'm showing you on the stream team here. This is Trey live in Toronto.
This is different, man. This was one year of growth at that point. But you're right. I can't train.
Train is super.
You're in the middle. You're in the middle here of growth. You're right.
Oh, stream team, help me out. It's driving me nuts. You look like an actor. I'm like, want to say from like a Will Ferrell sort of movie, but I don't know. That's a
John C. Reilly wig if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, maybe that's.
I don't know about the face. There's also what's this guy's name? Mark David Booth or something like that. I don't know if that's exactly his name, but he looked a lot like I look, and that's like the one actor that people always bring up. I'm like, come on, man, this guy. Why you got to give me John Booth or whatever this fella's name is? Let me look it up.
Yeah, he's not a Mark David Booth. John Wilkes Booth?
No.
Oh, wow.
What is that?
Not John Wilkes
Booth. Mark David Boone? Mark David Boone. Mark David Boone Jr. Yeah.
Lee, you know who that is?
I know who David Boone is. He's a legendary Australian cricketer. He was known as the Keg on Legs. He drunk 52 cans from Melbourne
Steve
to London.
Yeah, sure. I think you're spelling it wrong here, Yusuf, but John Favreau? JD, see him at all?
Yeah, I don't. I've never seen him with a beard, has he?
Maybe. There's a vibe there.
There's a vibe.
I don't mind this, actually. David Costabile, you would know him as. He was in Breaking Bad. He's in Billions as well. He's got a curly hair.
All right.
Sorry, JD, I didn't put this on a purple background. That's my fault. I was desperately looking for that Kristen Ledlow clip that Trey was talking about, where we all come together and fall down.
It is there somewhere. Yeah.
Why did you guys do that again? Because there was a rare triple flop in an NBA game or something?
I think it was DeMarcus Cousins and James Harden both flopped each other, I believe. Yeah, they ran into each other. They flopped each other off and nothing was called. So they were lying on the ground, both complaining that the other one flopped. But, you know, they both flopped and it was just one of those dumb things that happened. So I'll check it out. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we'll look during the first commercial break here, see if we can find this classic clip of three men doing their best Three Stooges material behind Kristen Ledlow at the NBA TV network. We'll see if we can find it, but we'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, back with No Dunks on a fine Thursday. Let's do a little Is This News? Yep. Is this news? Segment where I give you guys some NBA headlines and you tell me whether or not they're actually newsworthy. Our first one, by way of ESPN. You ever heard of it? Luka hated how Rick treated other people. How Dallas's coach superstar relationship fell apart. Yeah, this was a big article here from the worldwide leader there. Trey, is this news? Luka and Rick not liking each other.
I guess it's a little bit of news in the fact that we're getting some details on what went down at the end of Rick Carlisle's tenure in Dallas. I mean, we kind of knew that they didn't get along, but now we're getting a few more details. Not huge news, though. A few takeaways, though. Number one, being easy to work with, that is a skill. A lot of what's in this article seems to me Rick Carlisle kind of being set in his ways, wanting to do things his way. The guy is a longtime NBA vet who has an NBA title as a player. He's a longtime NBA coach with an NBA title as a coach. So he earned the right to call the shots, especially in Dallas, until the called shots weren't working quite as well. And somebody else joined the organization with just as much clout as Rick Carlisle. This, like I was saying earlier, kind of reminds me of the end of Jerry Sloan's tenure in Utah when him and Darren Williams kind of got into some beefs about exactly how the team should be ran in the current generation. Transitioning between eras just seems tough to me. You know, like Jerry Sloan had great success there with Malone and Stockton, had great success with the Jazz then. And then Darren Williams just kind of started chafing a little bit, and eventually a change was made. Number two takeaway in this is that players should not be in charge of personnel, because very funny to me that this was all over Dennis Smith Jr. A lot of beefs because Luka wanted Dennis Smith Jr. to be playing more. I think Rick Carlisle was right about that one. DSJ's kind of bounced around the league ever since the Porzingis trade, which brings me to number three. Players over coaches is usually how this thing goes. Rick Carlisle, an excellent coach. Not the first time we've heard that he can be tough to work with, and franchises want to keep their franchise players happy. Darren Williams in Utah. We're going to see it in this HBO show about Magic Johnson and Paul Westhead. It's been happening forever. I love a juicy postmortem on an era. This one, just another in the chapter. Another chapter in a book about that kind of stuff. Always great to hear, always spicy, but is it news? A little bit, but not really.
What do you think, Lele? You had a chance to read Tim McMahon's article there on ESPN?
Yes, I did, and Dennis Smith Jr. himself actually tweeted about it, saying, this article about my time there is spot on, and that's coming from staff members and players. Y'all don't even know the half, so maybe we're going to get some more out of that. But yes, this was sort of out there. We knew that Rick Carlisle at times, you know, wasn't the most loved coach in the locker room there. And I think, you know, he was there at a time they won the championship, different era, different group of players, and then the younger, newer players came along and he wasn't able to sort of communicate with them. He seems the sort of guy, actually, I would think, who would really try to be on Luka's side and build a great relationship with him, because he's clearly the star and he would want to focus everything through him. But Luka obviously saw maybe Rick playing favorites with him or with other people, and he just didn't appreciate the way that he treated those others. And that sort of upset Luka a bit. So, you know, at the end, 13 years is an incredibly long time for a coach at an organization. They had some success, but in the end, I think a change was needed. And what we've seen, Tim Cato, of course, had a great article out last season about the sort of chaos and the dysfunction within the organization there in Dallas. And I think this is just more a reflection of that as well, that it was like, it was a pretty crazy environment. There's a lot of power struggles going on, a lot of people trying to be the one who makes the final decision. And ultimately, you know, you've got to side, I think, with the player in this case and say, listen, if Luka's not happy, we can't afford him to go. We've got to make sure he stays. And so that's the decision that Mark Cuban's made in the end. But, you know, Rick Carlisle does seem to be a sort of guy I know from other people I know within the Mavericks organization has said the same thing, that he's a bit of a jerk at times. And this article kind of surmises that.
Tass, any other takeaways?
Listen, I'm a social media user. I love these tasty headlines. I get really excited. But is there really any news in this? I think what Trey went through was great. Yes, maybe Rick Carlisle is sort of old school, and I think that's what this article says. I mean, he just kind of comes down on guys. I will say, though, his relationship with Luka specifically, he gave Luka the reins. Mm-hmm. And that shows a little bit of growth. If I'm calling him in one breath an old school guy, Rick Carlisle butted heads with Rajon Rondo
very infamously. He was able to give Jason Kidd the reins there when he was with Dallas, but he butted heads with some point guards, but he said to Luka, hands off, like, go do it. And so maybe, yeah, his temperament with Salah, Mezri, and other guys wasn't to Luka's liking. But yeah, I think also Luka also admitted in this article that he's made mistakes. Number one, you know, maybe conditioning, a little bit of mistakes, but also Luka dropped in some life advice for himself and for others when he said, quote, in this article, the more you talk, the better. Talking solves things. So I think it's a good idea. So, you know, I think he's admitting a little bit that, yeah, maybe I wasn't all that upfront with whoever it is, Rick, maybe Bob Vulgaris, as we go back to the Athletic article. I just think that this, not too many nuggets, but it's nice, listen, as a basketball fan to get in there and hear these juicy tidbits, and maybe we get more from, as Dennis Smith Jr. says, but we're getting these pretty quick these days, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, before we'd get a book from Jack McCallum or something, like 5 years later, 6, 7 years later, now we're getting it like months later, and it's tasty.
Very, very tasty. Okay, you guys seem to enjoy the article, and I think from the Stream Team comments, those that read it did as well, because everybody loves that spice, don't they? For sure. All right. Our next one, probably not as spicy. In fact, spicy. I bet this man's never had spicy food.
Blandy.
Yeah, from The Athletic, a great website. You should go to theathletic.com/nodunks and get yourself a subscription so you can read headlines like these, because the Jazz hired Danny Ainge as alternate governor and CEO of basketball operations. Yes, Danny Ainge, the former Celtics executive. I think he was with the Celtics like 18 years or something like that. He is teaming up in Utah and joining this team with a couple interesting titles here, Tass. But is this news?
Governor. Alternate governor.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What? Alternate governor. I think it's really Ryan Smith, who is you know, sort of newly the owner of the Utah Jazz, bringing in a friend, a very good friend, as he said, and another intelligent mind, just into the front office. I don't think this is Danny Ainge just taking over and being the head guy. I think he's more of an advisor. And I think if you really look into this article, I think that's the vibe you get. Because, yeah, if you just look at the headline, oh, Danny Ainge going from Boston, Utah, lead decision maker. But I think he's taking a different tack with this transition. As he says, quote, if you're in the league, everyone knows to call Justin Zanuck right now, their GM. I think that's pretty clear. I think when it comes to decision making, we're in a culture that doesn't really work that way. One person sort of making the calls. So he's understanding things. If a decision gets to where it's so tough that we don't have unanimous or at least the majority decision when it comes to me, I don't anticipate a lot of that. So I think he's, you know, just sort of going to be a part of the front office. And I think Ryan Smith just reeled him in and said, we want you to be here. Let's go back to your Utah days. He played basketball at BYU, I guess. I'm not that old. I think it's even further exemplified that his lack of knowledge of the organization is pretty clear. Like, Danny Ainge doesn't know a lot about what's going on in the Utah Jazz organization. He said the roster's strong, so this is a chance to come in and work with a really good team. I'm not sure what needs to be done, but we'll look at Justin's team and with Quinn Snyder, and we'll figure out what we need. But this is a really good team. I think he's just sort of another governor and another mind to be in that front office. I don't think he's going to be the boss man and the only boss man.
You're almost making it sound, I don't want to put words in your mouth, sort of what Jerry West was doing for organizations, right? Like, he's not doing day-to-day operations. He's a sounding board. He's obviously had success in the league, and maybe that's what Danny Ainge is doing here in Utah. Is it newsworthy to you, TK?
Sure, it's newsworthy because it's a big name heading back to a hometown. That's always going to get you a headline, and it'll be more newsworthy, though, I think, when we see what kind of influence Danny Ainge actually has with his time in the Celtics. You know, he was called Trader Danny at one point. Eventually, it became kind of a joke. Like, this guy always says he's going to make a trade.
Right.
Never does. But in general, Danny Ainge seems to be more of a big swing kind of GM than the Jazz have had recently. They're more tinkering around the edges, trying to figure out how to best maximize their core with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert there. But we've seen Danny Ainge trade the end of an era to start a new era. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of leeway he's given there in the front office. I also like the idea of the Jazz having a really great regular season team and bringing some championship experience in. Dwayne Wade is now part of their ownership structure. Danny Ainge is a governor now. So they're bringing in some people who know how to win titles, which is only going to help for a team that needs to figure out how to win a title when they're in the midst of one of their best runs in franchise history.
Lee, anything to add to this?
Not really. We'll just sort of see what happens, though, when that final decision does get made and who has the power, because Justin Zanuck is that person right now. But maybe, according to the Athletic article, Danny Ainge is a little bit above him. So maybe Danny Ainge has the final say. We know, as the other guys have said, Danny Ainge likes to make big deals and he likes to get out there and do stuff. I don't know if the Jazz need that big deal right now, but, you know, if there's some tinkering to be done, maybe that's where Danny Ainge makes his mark. But otherwise, you know, the Jazz are sort of, they don't need to rock the boat too much. They've got a good system. They've got a good structure in there. Obviously, they desperately want that playoff success, but you don't need someone to come in there and say, okay, we need wholesale changes right now. So there's probably not a huge move out there to be made anyway right now for the Jazz.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys promise me that if you guys ever own an NBA team that you'll bring me in some capacity? Make me an alternate governor?
You could be assistant to the general manager.
Okay, I can do that. Sounds great. I mean, because like, yeah, I mean, Tass said it. These guys are butts, Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge. Like, they're longtime friends. And
yeah.
And it's a little different because it's not like Danny Ainge is like, he was like working at a McDonald's or something like that. I mean, he has a lot of experience in the league as, you know, as a GM, also as a coach, and of course as a player. But yeah, there's definitely that part that there's like, hey, yeah. Come work for me. We'll hang out, play some golf, and talk about the Jazz and their 19-game win streak coming up here. So congratulations there to Danny. Going home to the home state, like you said. Tass, did you find something maybe that you were looking for or no?
I found it, but I don't want to show it.
Oh, because I have an idea what you were finding because I couldn't believe you didn't bring it up because every time you talk about Danny Ainge, you usually like to point out that he was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays. So... Yeah, then you were looking at cards.
I didn't know that.
Like.
I had no idea that he was drafted.
Say it every time. I couldn't believe you didn't say it.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Hold on. Was he drafted?
Oh, I don't know.
Did they just sign?
Yeah,
see?
Maybe. Okay.
Don't throw a fact. Yeah, I got my Danny Ainge card here, but it's
it's not that great.
Showing it.
Oh, he's
I'm not showing it because it wasn't going to show that well. So I made the call. Made the call on the fly. Less Danny.
Oh, well, I also could have clicked this thing that said, I'm not showing that, JD, in our stranger private chat. I didn't see that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, JD did a great job. He went to the three shot instead of including me in that four shot because he knew I was meandering around my garage grabbing my my artwork of cards that my wife put together. It was a great gift.
Come on, don't be shy, Tass.
Don't
Let's
be
see
shy.
That
I'm
card.
Not shy. I've shown it. It's been in the back, but it's got a huge glare on it.
Greg
it's super gloss.
Come on, show it.
I used to have
coward.
It in the background for. No, it was in the background. Yeah, another comment. Show it, you coward. It was in the background behind me for like months while doing this show. So you've probably already seen it.
What round?
You've probably already heard.
What round do you think Danny Ainge was drafted in?
Baseball's got like 64 rounds, don't they?
I think he was somewhat high, if I remember correctly. Like, I don't think it was, I don't know, fifth?
15, so, you know.
Oh, wow, okay.
Mid-rounder, yeah.
Wow. Wait, hold on, you mean 15th round?
15th round of the 1977 June amateur draft.
15th round.
Greg here says that my dad went to college with him. See if your dad can get a job then with the Jazz.
Oh, I just want to know if Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith are going to throw around the baseball in the backyard like Mitchum.
You think you can name another player who was drafted? drafted in the 15th round of the 1977 draft? You think you can name one?
Trevor Chapel. See if he was drafted.
I don't have a trouble.
Oh, I hope he's right. That'd be the weirdest piece of trivia for you to ever know.
There was an Australian cricketer who, one of the Chapel brothers, I think, was drafted by the Blue Jays.
I grew up with a James Chapel, and that guy playing softball hit nothing but dingers. His parents would give him a bag of chips for every home run he hit. Fucking kid went yard every time.
Oh, he was actually drafted 18th
was amazing.
Right here.
That kid could crush a ball. He just wanted chips.
This guy loves chips.
My buddy Dub is loving that comment right now, I'll tell you.
He's hitting dingers. I hope every home run hit the chapel bell. Ding.
All right. One more headline. It's not a fun one, but here it is. Yahoo Sports, we'll give them credit on this one first. It reads, sources say that the NBA is exploring modifications to COVID-19 protocols with rising number of players sidelined. Lee, is this news?
Well, it really comes down to whether or not we are headed for another pause, I think, in the season, given so many players in health and safety protocols and missing multiple games, and there's more even happening right now. I know the Bulls have obviously had a couple of games postponed. I don't think the NBA obviously wants to have a halt on the season, but no. You know, this Omicron variant is really having an impact on everything in life again. So it's just a matter of, I think, whether or not that is going to happen. And you know, we know that it's going to affect all the sports leagues, hockey and American football as well, and soccer as well. That's happening. Game got postponed. Manchester United game got postponed. So it's just whether or not they can continue business as normal. I think we've seen that. I think it's an 8 is the minimum you can have on a roster. I think if you can field 8 players, the NBA wants that game to go ahead. So it's tough to see exactly what's going to happen, because this variant appears to be really taking off, which is not a great way to describe it, but it seems to be out there everywhere, and it could slow things down again. So whether or not we're going to have a stoppage, I'm not sure. But that's, I think, what's going to have to determine it, just exactly if how many teams lose so many players that they just can't field a squad.
Well, that's interesting that you go that direction, and we've talked about that before. Like, yeah, are they just going to take a break here? Is that a possibility? Because I saw Ghostface Zilla write in his newsletter this morning, maybe the opposite direction. Could it be something here where the league is going to try to adjust the rules to avoid forcing asymptomatic players to quarantine for 10 days if they can get the public health experts to sort of buy into that? Like, these guys have it, but they're, you know, they're healthy enough, they seem okay, and will they like reduce that? I don't know. That maybe is crazy, but that is that's the complete opposite direction, obviously, of what you're saying, Lee, and just taking a pause or a break. Tass, anything to add to these headlines that we're seeing about COVID-19 health and safety protocols?
No, I appreciate you guys talking about the serious stuff, but I can't do it this morning. I'm all out of serious talks. Okay. I had plenty this morning. I want to bring up this fact, because this is surprising to me, about Danny Ainge. Going back to Danny Ainge. He hit a home run as a Blue Jay in 1979, June 2nd, 1979. He was the youngest Blue Jay to hit a home run for like 30 years.
Wow, until Junior
years.
Felix came
record.
Along?
No, until Vlad Guerrero Jr., until 2019. C.W.E. Crocker bringing that up in the stream team. So I went and looked it up. Yeah, he had a record for 30 years. Danny Ainge played with the Blue Jays for like 2.5 seasons. It was a real quick career. And then he went and did, you know, the basketball thing. He was pretty good at that. I think he made the right choice. And then this other comment here from Somed Coca. Just me, or is Tass kind of serial killer-ish? Yeah, you're right. Somed, you're right. Moving on.
Trey, do you have any Danny Ainge thoughts or COVID-19 rule changes possibly?
Well, I do have some follow-up stuff about the 1977 MLB draft, but I was planning on getting into that during Tweet of the Week, or Tweet of the Night, so we can get to that after the break. I guess this is pre-news, because I imagine we're going to be hearing a lot more stuff about how regulations are changing, because we have 9 days until Christmas, and that is a huge date on the NBA's schedule, and my guess is that they're going to do everything they can to play every single one of those games that is scheduled for Christmas Day. Not a lot of time to figure out what kind of regulations need to be in place to ensure that happens. Hopefully everybody stays safe, but we're going to be hearing about the updates pretty soon, I would have to imagine.
Yep, I think so. Okay, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, Trey's got Tweet of the Night. We got Pick'em Result. We'll make tonight's pick, and we'll wrap up this bad boy. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, back with you, No Dunkers. Before we get to Tweet of the Night, we had that photo of Trey up earlier in the show, and it was driving me nuts. Who does he look like? Who does he look like? We're trying to figure out the actor. Well, at Jamario Moon Knight on Twitter tweeted in at me, and he said, I think I figured it out. Maybe Trey looks like Al.
Damn it.
And there are some similarities. I've got Elf on my brain recently. There's a lot of Elf content suddenly in the world. And yeah, maybe that's what it is. Jamario Moon Knight. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, I've got a Tweet of the Night. Actually, two in the chamber, but let's fact check a few things around here. First, going in order, we were talking about Isaac Okoro's dunk looking very similar to the triple flop we did with Kristen Ledlow forever ago. I found it. Wow. Found it on Twitter. Tass had the tweet. Here it is. There's us in the background behind Kristen Ledlow, Trey, Tass, and Lee. Fall into each other, feet go flying. I think Kristen Ledlow becomes the Isaac Okoro in this situation.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Standing there. Yeah. Hilarious physical comedy bit.
So
people.
Good.
It's pretty good.
That's why we were hired.
You guys fall good.
That was a one taker, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's one part of the fake Tweet of the Night. Number two, the 1977 MLB draft. 15th round is going to be hard to guess. I think the best player was Jerry Dibzinski. You guys remember Jerry Dibzinski?
Ah, J-Dub.
Yeah, J-Dub. Had a great career. 468 games, 909 at-bats. But there were some great players drafted in 1977 in the first round, including Tass's favorite player of all time.
Paul Molitor?
Paul Molitor, number three in the 1977 MLB draft. Behind Bill Gullickson, Joliet, Illinois, and Harold Baines, another Hall of Famer.
Oh.
Not bad.
Hey, did Sean Landreth get drafted in 1977?
Sean Landreth.
That's Turbo's uncle. I think I have his name right. He was a pitcher for the Expos. I don't know. It'd be around that time.
Larry Landreth.
Larry Landreth, that's it. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, looks like Larry Landreth. Currently 66 years old.
Was he drafted in the 77 draft, though?
It doesn't look like he was draft. His last game was in 1977. Debuted in 1976.
That's
okay. Nice.
Great.
I thought Benji Molina was your favorite player of all time, Tass. No?
Benji Molina? Yeah. Why? No? I mean, I appreciate a guy calling a game, but no. Are you confusing him with your favorite player of all time, Jorge Posada?
Oh, Jorge Posada. Yeah, he was excellent. Now, mine was actually Raul Mondesi, a former Blue Jay.
You can tell you're a big fan. Raul Mondesi.
Mine is Glenn Allen Hill.
Oh, Glenn Allen Hill. Awesome.
Swing fingers in a game, didn't he?
Little binky chop. Yeah. Little bink.
Big stick.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Frank Catalanato was also a great player. I love Big Frankie.
What about Terry Steinbach? Come on, we can name baseball players forever. There's a million of them. Tettleton, there's another one for you.
I love Terry Steinbach. He felt some good games for Rick Honeycutt.
We really should have a spinoff show called What About This Guy, where we do this. Like, we pick just a keep topic going. And we just...
Stubby Clap. He's a great baseball player.
That's an incredible name. He's Canadian, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Do I have to look at Baseball Reference again?
No, no, no.
So
no,
much stuff on this page. All right, going on down the line, here's the actor that people thought I looked like. Mark Boone Jr.
Yeah, okay.
And especially like at haircut time yesterday. I mean, this one's a major diss, if I'm being quite honest. I don't like being called Mark Boone Jr., as people in the stream team were mentioning. He's the guy that gets the rat put on him in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah,
man, right. I'm trying to be Rip from Yellowstone, who was the guy that put the rat on him. But here's the trivia for you guys.
You're turning into a temper boom. Oh,
damn, bro. Damn, that hurts. Here's your trivia question. I went into my haircut place yesterday. Which actor did I say? Whose hair did I want? Whose hair did I want?
Let's see the flow.
Zach Lowe.
I said, CeCe, give me the Oscar Isaac.
Oh. Ah. Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys are talking.
Good job, CeCe.
Yeah, not bad. I know. He actually crushed it. Shout out to CeCe. If you need a recommendation in the Atlanta area, let me know. But he's booked up until Christmas. Sorry, guys.
Oh, wow. He's like Gordon Hayward's hairdresser. To bring it back to Gordon for a second.
Everybody gets an hour.
Very popular.
Everybody gets
okay, tweet of the night. Nice. Running on down the list. Tweet of the night. Whoa. We talked about the Timberwolves win earlier. Great win. Great performance from Anthony Edwards. The fun night continued in the press conference, but I had two great tweets. Couldn't pick. So a little more what you got. This tweet comes from Dane Moore. Quite the post-game outfits for our press conference with Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. Cat wasn't wearing a shirt because D'Lo dumped an ice bucket on him after he got dressed. And Ant wasn't wearing pants. I'm not sure why. That's tweet one. Tweet two comes from Jace Frederick, who tweeted, I suggested to Carl Anthony Towns that Anthony Edwards thinks he's the best shooter on the team. Cat said, Ant thinks he's the best baseball player, football player, skier, curler, walker, runner. Edwards replies, anything with a player behind it, I'm the best in the world. Great response from Mr. Perfect. So the question for y'all, which of those should have been tweet of the night?
The second one, Jace's. And mainly because there was a spelling mistake in the first one.
Yeah, this guy hates a spelling mistake.
Quiet to me. Come on,
get your Grammarly premium up, buddy. Use promo code NoDunks.
I like the Mr. Perfect, like you're saying there. That's what Anthony Edwards truly believes. And I would have gone with that one, but maybe Tassar Lee thinks differently.
Either one was great. I like when the guy's just got no pants on because you know you're going out for your press conference and it's like, are you going to whack a pair of dacks on? No, I'll just go out like this. Like, you know, like putting on pants is a very, very fundamental thing of doing anything in front of other people, isn't it? So guy's not wearing pants. You got to go, okay, how come you got no pants on, man? Maybe that's it. He's the pants man. No pants man.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Well, he had ants in his pants. He had to take them off, as Sir Mansoe said. Yeah, I wanted a... I thought we may get an image, you know, some sort of a mock-up of Anthony Edwards with no pants or a pant... I don't know, some sort of meme happening. So, yeah, I'm going number two as well. I mean, what... Like,
I'm going
of course,
you better not have your pants on.
I'm going
on
number
me.
Two. Whack a pant. What did you say, Lee?
Whack a pair of pants on. Whack a pair of dacks.
Whack a pair of dacks.
Whack a pair of dacks.
Yeah.
That's a term for putting a pair of pants on.
Yeah, yeah. Whack your dacks on or whack your dacks off, really. It doesn't. I know that I have to stop saying it, though, because my 5-year-old said to me a while ago, Dad, can you help me whack me dacks off? I'm like, all right. I got to stop saying it around him because he can't say it to his friends at school. They'll be like, whoa.
Bigger results brought to you by BetMGM. Last night was the Grizzlies Blazers game. I believe the Blazers were favored in this game. Do I have that correct?
Well, that's weird because I saw the Grizzlies as 3-point faves after. But anyway,
doesn't really matter because the Grizzlies straight up won the game and pretty comfortably. So that's a victory for Trey, who goes to 9-2. And I got myself a winning streak. Oh, wait, I guess it's not a streak. It's a patch.
Got a patch.
The coin is correctly called 2 games in a row. I'm 3-8. And more importantly for me, Tass and Lee had Portland, so they got it wrong. You guys are both 5-6. I'm 2 games back. This is doable here. So there's only, 4 games on? 5 games on tonight, Tass? So where are we going?
Yeah, 4 games on. The Bulls-Raptors postponed. That would have been the 5th game on the sked. You know, I think this is a tough game to call, or I thought it was when I introduced it to you guys. Knicks, Rockets. The Knicks are going into Houston facing a tough Houston team. Let's just be honest. Let's just call it what it is. These Rockets are playing extremely well. I see the line is dropping as we speak. When I first looked at it this morning, it was at 6.5. The Knicks favored in Houston. That's just too many points for the Houston Rockets. And that's why you jumped on it, Skeets, taking the Rockets. While the other three of us feel like the Knicks will have a bounce back game. Rockets on a back to back. Got shellacked by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Knicks should be a little fresher. But why do you think you're going to keep coming back in this race here with the Houston Rockets there, Skeets?
The coin is hot, baby! Ride the coin! Get on board! I'm going to win a million games in a row now after losing a million games in a row. Yeah, I think I actually would have taken the Rockets. I mean, they just got hammered. You know, it's like one of those, like, can they bounce back a little? Probably. Like, they got killed by the Cavs, as we talked about. I think even if they lose, this should be a much more competitive game. I think Christian Wood and Eric Gordon are playing, and yeah. And the Rockets, like, proved to us when they had their own win streak, they're not that bad. And the Knicks are not all that great, so this
no,
should
surprised
be somewhat
the line is that big.
Yeah, somewhat of a close game.
Rockets record's not great. They're coming home after a three-game trip. I love betting against the other team, even though three-game trip, that's a... Does that equate to the old, hey, they're going to be tired when they come home after a long trip? That first game feels like a road trip. Is three games long enough for that?
Yeah. Travel sucks.
Travel sucks.
No matter how long.
Especially this time of year, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
These conditions. Three okay. games feels like five, yeah.
Hey, speaking of traveling.
They're flying private, yeah.
Yeah. Lee, are you you're headed to the homeland soon? Well, our homeland.
Yes, we are planning on going to Canada tomorrow, but
you say that like it's not a sure thing.
I wouldn't say it's 100%. I'd say it's likely, but I wouldn't say it's 100% right now. So,
all right,
we'll see.
Hopefully, you can get across the border and into Canada there for the holidays. We will be back though with the Drop podcast tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, live here on YouTube. If you want to join us and be a part of the stream team, keep emailing in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And if you're a Survivor fan and you want to hear us talk about the finale last night and the reunion show, we'll get into that as well. Jump over to the No Buffs YouTube feed and then podcast feed. In a couple hours, at 1 p.m. Eastern, we'll be talking with Jason Concepcion about the final episode there of Survivor. We're going to have the whole crew back together. JD, Trey, myself, and like I said, Jason Concepcion. Can't wait to talk about that. Until tomorrow, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, not doing spoilers. Not spoiling anyone's Survivor. I just will say, podcasts, okay, not cool to spoil anything, but on Twitter, everything goes. Everything goes. You can't be on Twitter and expect some live event not to be talked about by anybody. Somebody said to me, hey, you spoiled Survivor for me because you talked about it on Twitter. I unfollowed or I stopped getting alerts from all my Survivor follows, but you're supposed to be the basketball guy. Don't talk about Survivor. Sorry, not going to hashtag stick to sport. Twitter is, because Survivor's not a sport. I'm going to say it right now. It's not a sport, Skeets. I love it.
I didn't say it was.
You have said it was. So I'm not going to hashtag stick to sports. Anyway, just get off Twitter. It's a live event. You have to treat it like it's a sporting event.
Brace the day, people.
You could stay, ooh, every day. And I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one I've waited for. It's happened already. It's gonna be groovy.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot.
Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.